Coming up on Reflections.
I'm trying to remember what peak it was, actually. I think it was peak 13, so it was kind of unlucky. All right, so I'm going to tell you the story about the time that I thought I was going to fall off a cliff and fall to my death.
Hi, I'm Rick. Welcome back to The Journey, and welcome to our podcast, Reflections. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a person or an event that came into their lives and changed them, altered them, turned them into who they wanted to be, helped them become who they needed to be. And that's exactly what we do here on Reflections. We open up a platform for people to share their stories, to inspire others, and to maybe be a cautionary tale for what you shouldn't do. And our guest today is Natasha Bergen. Natasha is a YouTuber, an expat, an avid traveler, and, well, an all-around inspiration. I have been following her for a very, very long time now, and I am so happy that she has agreed to come on to the show and share one of her stories.
So I'm Natasha Bergen. I'm originally from Canada, but I've been living on the Iberian Peninsula for the last 6 years now. I'm currently on a mission to climb the highest peak in every European country, and I share all of these stories on YouTube. And it's kind of pushed me beyond my limits physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially, but I love sharing all of this with everybody. So I'm going to tell you the story about the time that I thought I was going to fall off a cliff and fall to my death. I was climbing the highest peak in Greece, which is called Mount Olympus. It's just under 3,000 meters, and I was doing it all by myself. And this was a pivotal peak for me because it pushed me beyond my limits, truly. So I flew in really late after work one night, and I gathered all my stuff. I prepared everything for the day that would be coming on Saturday. So my mission was to get from Thessaloniki via public transit to the base city, Lirohoro. And I found the public bus, no issues there. I arrived to the bus station, and it was this beautiful chaos. You had all of the smells, you had people shouting, yelling, and this is something that kind of reminded me a bit of Barcelona, so I felt a little bit at home. In true Natasha Bergen style, I did not have any accommodation for that night in Lirohoro because I'm not very good at planning ahead, and sometimes there's a lot of things going on and I kind of forget about some things. So I figured, no problem. Once I'm on the bus, I'll book a place to stay that night, then I'll climb the peak the next day. Everything will work out. So I'm on the bus, I book my accommodation. It all went through, I put my payment in, no issues. So I arrived in Lirohoro, and just as I did, I got a notification from booking.com saying my accommodation had been canceled for the night. So that led me to have to walk around the city going hotel to hotel, trying to find a place to stay for the night. And let me tell you, it was not easy. And it's something that is so out of my comfort zone doing that, because I don't like to bother people. It's like a very Canadian thing in me, I think. Or maybe it's just me, I don't know. Anyways, I got to the second place and they said, yeah, maybe we have something. Come back in a few hours. So I kept going around, and eventually I did find a place. I went back to the second one. I said, please, I really need somewhere. I'll pay anything. They said, no problem. Like, we have a good deal for you. And it was like 70 euros. I was like, I don't care at this point. I'll just take it. So next, I had to get a bit of gear, because climbing Mount Olympus involves a section where there's a lot of rockfall, or there can be rockfall. So I needed to have a helmet and a map. That was also very important because I was going to be doing it by myself, and I knew that there wouldn't be any service in the mountains. So I found this shop just next to the hotel, actually. They rented out a helmet, and I got this amazing map from the lady. And she actually asked me, she said, so what route are you going to do? And I explained to her, I wanted to do the most simple one because I was planning to do it in one day. Typically, people do this mountain in 2 days. So they hike up partway and they stay in the mountain hut, and then they continue on in the next morning. but I was going to do it in one because I needed to work on Monday. I need to get back. So she explained to me the route. I felt fairly confident with it. And she said that you need to go really early if you're going to be doing it in one day. It is possible, but there's a chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. So the earlier, the better. So I thought, okay, perfect. So that was another part checked off my list. The last piece before I could even get to the base was to get a taxi. I've had lots of problems in the past with taxis. Sometimes they just don't show up. I don't know if it's just my organization or if I just have bad luck. I don't know what it is. Anyways, I found a guy, Dimitri. I said, I need a taxi at 5 a.m. We have to be leaving at that time because I need to get to the base of the mountain. I said, no problem, no problem. So I pack everything the night before and I do some vlogging, of course. I'm kind of talking through my feelings and I'm feeling really nervous because I know the section that I'm going to do and the scramble that I'm going to do. I'm going to be by myself. There's a potential thunderstorm. And I'll be alone in the mountains. Anytime you're alone in the mountains and you're that high up, you run the risk of injury, getting lost, or falling off the cliff. So anyways, the next day, I wake up and Dimitri is there. He showed up like an absolute legend. We chatted the whole way to the base. It was about 30 to 40 minutes to get to the base. And he wished me luck, let me know if I need a ride back, and I could give him a call. So he left and I opened up my backpack. I'm in pitch darkness. It's pitch black outside. I open up my backpack and I realize I left my headlamp at the hotel. Mistake number one. And I wasn't sure what to do because you cannot see. And then I start getting into my head, like, oh my gosh, am I actually prepared for this? I won't see any light in this part of the mountains for at least 3 hours. So what did I do? I took a few deep breaths because I was really nervous. And I had been reading articles the night before that there are actually bears in this part of Europe. So of course, as a Canadian, I'm thinking, okay, which bears could be around? Is it going to be black bears, brown bears? And all these things are going on in my head, right? So I think, okay, I just need to get moving and find a solution. So I actually had one of those buffs. They're like, like a headscarf kind of thing. I just put it around my head like this. I put my phone flashlight here and I walked in the dark for 2 hours until a little bit of light came and then I could see a little bit so I could shut off the flashlight. This was actually nerve-wracking because that drains the battery quite a bit. So I thought, if I get lost and I run out of cell service or on my way back, how am I going to get back to Litohoro? And I thought, I'm just going to deal with it later. So that was an obstacle out of the way. And I was well and truly the only person on the trail. There was not a soul around. It was so peaceful, so beautiful. You could see the sea from the mountains. You come up through a forest. Incredible feeling. And this is part of the reason why I do it, right? Is because of the nature, because of the sense of freedom. I do like a little bit of the adrenaline that comes with it too. So anyways, I'm on my way. I reached the first mountain hut, which is about 4 or 5 hours into the hike. And I see people are starting to wake up who are sleeping there. And it's kind of nice to be around civilization. I fill up on water and get ready for the next part of the journey. Now, what was kind of freaking me out was that I could see the dark clouds. So there was big cloud cover coming in. But I thought, I'm just going to keep pushing through. If I need to turn back, safety is the most important, right? So I keep going, no problem, no issues. I was in a really good rhythm until I get to the point where I had to make the hardest decision I think I've ever had to make on a mountain by myself.
And yes, we are going to take a pause right here. When I was editing this podcast, and obviously before I started doing these narrations, I stopped here in her story and I went back and watched the video, watched her climb this mountain in Greece. Only this time, I watched it with fresh eyes because I kind of knew the backstory to what was going on. And trust me, you are not going to be disappointed with where she goes from here. But we have to pause here because we have some housekeeping to do. We have a newsletter. You want the newsletter. So go to rickhiggins.com where a helpful little pop-up is going to, help you acquire the newsletter. Every other week, random bits of goodness will appear in your email box and help get you to the promised land. Okay. That's out of the way. Let's get back to Natasha.
Let me paint the picture for you. I'm near the summit. I'm about 400 to 500 meters away from summiting. So I am on this rocky platform. I have a choice to go to one peak. It's the second highest peak. I think it's called Skala. So that would be an easy walk. I have the other choice to continue on to Mitikas, which is the peak. And from the rocky platform down that way and then up and scrambling is about 400 to 500 meters. And it's a class 4 on the Yosemite scale. So I run the risk of rocks falling off the cliff. I kind of have to know what I'm doing. Now, the part that was freaking me out was there was zero visibility. I could not see anything. I could see maybe 5 meters in front of me, there was so much cloud. So the reason this decision was so hard was because I have this issue of trusting in my own abilities. I think it's something that has stemmed from my childhood. I've always had some people in my corner cheering for me, supporting me, but then there are others who should have been role models who were kind of putting me down, putting limits on me. And so this is a demon that I've battled with pretty much my whole life. And so it came up here and I was telling myself, I cannot do this. Like, I'm not capable of doing this. I'm going to fall. I'm going to die. It was really scary because I wasn't trusting in myself. And that, I feel like that's one of the scariest things, is you're allowing all of these outside influences to affect your decision-making and the way you feel about yourself. What kind of helps me actually is vlogging. So I was vlogging to the camera at this point, and I'm kind of thinking about it, running through it. I've come this far, and I thought, if I attempt it and something bad happens, what's the worst that could happen? I fall off and I die. Okay. So what happens if I attempt it and I make it? Okay. That would be the greatest feeling in the world, right? Because I will have done something that I didn't think I could do and some other people thought I couldn't do. What happens if I try it and I have to turn back? Not a big deal. That was my decision. So I was kind of waiting a little bit longer. I was trying to get the nerve. And I actually saw this Slovakian fellow. He comes up. He puts his pack down with all the confidence in the world. He puts his gloves on, helmet on, and he just goes for it. And I thought, why the hell can't I be like that? Let's go. Let's do this. If he can do it, I'm sure I can do it too. So I muster all my strength up, I put my helmet on, and I start descending down. And I see there's an arrow guiding me. And I think, okay, we're gonna follow the arrows. It's supposed to be well marked. So here we go, let's just try this. And it was scary as hell. I'm not gonna lie. So it's basically scaling alongside the wall. So you always have to have 3 points of contact. Well, at least I did. So as I'm going, I'm watching my footing, seeing if anything's slippery, and so far, so good. I've lost sight of the Slovakian. I have no idea where he is. I'm alone in the clouds with the rocks here. I can't see what's on my right hand side. All that's on my left is the rock. So I keep going through, I'm looking for these red and yellow markers. And then all of a sudden, around the corner comes a group of four Spaniards. And they cheer me on, they ask me how it's going, and I just feel like this is exactly what I needed. They gave me a little pep talk. They said, it's not slippery, you're gonna do great, keep going. It's like, this is a sign, it's got to be. So I keep going until this hairy part. It was really scary because there was like this tiny bridge and I had to go across this bridge and there's these two massive rock pillars and I could see there was a rod with an iron rope. So I thought, okay, I just have to make it to the rod, make it to the rope and I'll be okay. I don't know what's on the other side. I don't know how far I am because I don't have one of those fancy watches, but let's do this. So I take a deep breath. I feel like my stomach is in my butt. And I take the steps. I've got the balance. Everything's going well. I do two quick steps. I'm over this little bridge. I grab the rope and I pull myself up. No problem. Then up coming from the other side, I see two guys. They're like shaking. And I'm like, oh gosh, like what happened? Was it really bad? And they said, yeah, we had to turn back. I said, oh, okay. And they said, yeah, just be careful. I thought, okay, good to know. This is interesting. I'm getting different things from different groups. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to keep going. Right now, I feel good checking in with myself. And I keep going. No problem. Still no sign of the Slovakian. I don't know where he went and what happened to him. So I keep going up. Now, this next part was pretty intense as well. It was a really steep incline. Like, it wasn't exactly a wall, but I was gonna have to climb it. So I was on, well, I wasn't on all fours. Like, I wasn't crawling, but I was literally scrambling up. At this point, I told myself, don't look back, but I couldn't help it. I was just too curious to look back, and I still couldn't see anything. It was just cloud. It was cliff. And I wasn't harnessed into anything. I wasn't holding on to anything except for the rock. So it was truly up to myself, my body, and my ability. So I kept going. I could sense that I was getting close because I could see there was some pillars left. And I thought, all right. So what I do for every video is I take my camera out and I start vlogging the last part. And I take it out and I climb up and all of a sudden, I see the Greek flag. I did it. Holy shit, I actually made it. I was just over the moon. I couldn't believe it. I still couldn't see Greece all around. I couldn't see the sea. But that feeling that I had inside, like even thinking back now, it's something that makes me want to cry because I overcame my own fear, these limitations and these perceptions I had put on myself that I wasn't able to do something, that I wasn't able to accomplish something like this. And this truly unlocked so many other adventures and mountains that have come after that. And when I was at the top, everything kind of fell into place. It felt like I just felt this great sense of joy. I don't know how else to explain it. It was a great sense of accomplishment. And the insane thing is like, I know a lot of people do this. They put these limitations on themselves. And I truly believe we can do a lot more than we think we can.
What, you think that's the end of her story? Oh, hell no. We're not even close. Trust me, we are not even close to the end. When we got to this point in the story, I had so many questions. There was just so much to unpack. I mean, there she is, sitting on top of a mountain. A 9,573-foot mountain, to be precise, to put it into American terms. So is the climb over? Can she get down? Can she make it back? I have questions. Well, I guess obviously she did make it down and did get back. Otherwise, she wouldn't be talking to us. But still, questions need to be answered.
Now, you might be wondering about the Slovakian. As I was eating my sandwich up at the top, I actually heard some rumbling behind me, and it was him. He climbed up and summited. I don't know where he disappeared to. He must not have been following the markers, but he made it, and it was even cooler to share that moment with him as well. So we took a cool selfie together, and he didn't speak English. I didn't speak any Slovakian. But yeah, it was an awesome moment at the top there. And going back, I'm always more scared descending. So scrambling down is a scary part for me. I don't know what it is. I think maybe because I injured myself a few peaks before that, so I was a little bit nervous, but it was fine. And I was so over the moon. I had so many endorphins from this accomplishment that I literally ran down the mountain. I probably looked like this crazy mad woman. And when I got down to the base, I didn't call a taxi. I thought, I still want a little bit more to this adventure. So I started sticking my thumb out, and eventually I hitched a ride with a really cute Greek family back to Litohoro. Yeah, that's it. I could go on, but probably not. Normally people don't pay attention after the climax.
Now, I am kind of curious. A lot of people I talk to, there always seems to be this mystery person comes into their life and changes things for them. If this guy hadn't showed up all confident, putting on his gloves and like, let's go, what would you have done?
Now, I would like to say, yeah, I would have gone on anyways. I would love to say that. But I just don't know if I had that confidence, because I saw before the Slovakian fellow, there were two people, a couple, a man and a woman. They had gone down. And like maybe 5-10 minutes later, they came back. So when I saw somebody going down and turning back, that was kind of like, okay, I don't know their experience level. I don't know their abilities, but they've turned back. Maybe I should too. Yeah, it's so hard to say. I don't know. I would like to say I would, but I've also been known to play it safe when it comes to these kinds of things. So
now I got to ask, because I know other people are going to ask. And by the way, I love the name of the, what you're calling your quest to hike all the mountains. It cracks me up. You know, was just.
Yeah. Maybe poorly planned, but.
Well, you got to have fun. Why mountains?
There's so much to it. I needed some kind of physical challenge. And I've always loved the mountains. I've always loved hiking. And the idea came to me in a really strange way, actually. So long story short, I spent some time in Sweden. I was filming YouTube videos, traveling. It's a place that feels like home, away from home. And when I got back, I edited the videos, put them out. But then I felt like this, like, what's next? Like, what's my point? And I had a friend who asked me, like, Tash, why are people going to follow you? Like, why would anybody watch your story? Like, what is your story? I thought, shit, what is my story? Like, I need something, right? So this kind of sat with me for a while. And one day I was just walking around the park with my dog, Bella. And I was listening to, I don't know if you know the podcast, Against the Odds by Wondery. So good. They tell these insane stories. And there was this one story about a Swedish fellow who had climbed K2, supposed to be one of the most difficult mountains in the world. Now, I didn't think that I would go and climb K2. Like, that's just insanity. Like, I would have to really work my way up to that. I thought, oh, I love mountains. Could I climb mountains? And then I thought, well, I need some sort of like fun objective, and I'm going to be in Europe for the foreseeable future. So I started thinking and typing on Google, like, oh, the highest mountain in Europe. Oh, it's not that high. Like, okay, doesn't seem so intense. And then I st- started seeing that more and more people were doing this project. Like it's like the crown jewels of Europe. And I thought, oh shit, I could probably do this too. Most of them are men, to be honest. And I wanted to represent female mountaineers as well. So, yeah.
The link to Tasha's YouTube channel is in the show notes, or if you're watching this on YouTube, in the video description below. And I have also put in a link directly to the Greek Climb video, because now that you've listened to this, you gotta go watch that. Now, do you want to tell your story on Reflections? Do you have a tale that will inspire others? Well, go to rickhiggins.com, and after you fill in the I want to get the newsletter portion, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the page. There, tell me what story you want to share, and then I'll contact you, we'll talk, we'll figure it out, and we will make your story happen. Thanks for listening.